This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello and welcome. My name is Nazmia Al-Qadi. On behalf of the COPS office, I would like to introduce you to Patrice O'Neill. Patrice O'Neill is the chief executive officer and executive producer for The Working Group, a nonprofit organization that developed Not In Our Town, a national anti-hate campaign. The COPS office and Not In Our Town are working together for safe and inclusive communities. Today, Patrice will be discussing the Not In Our Town project, the COPS-funded project, the hate crime reporting gap, and available resources for law enforcement. Patrice, please tell us about the Not In Our Town project and where it got its start.
Not In Our Town has turned into a movement to stop hate, address bullying, and build safe, inclusive communities for everyone. But it started as a film. 1995, we produced a film about people in Billings, Montana who stood up against hate crimes. And it was really about the actions of ordinary citizens. It started with graves being overturned at a Jewish cemetery, with KKK flyers on the cars of people after they came out of the Martin Luther King celebration. And people in town knew that they had to do something. So when the African American church had skinheads show up at their service and were very intimidating, members of other congregations showed up and the skinheads went away. When a Native American woman had her house plastered with racist graffiti, members of the painters union showed up to paint it over and 100 neighbors showed up to watch. In this whole atmosphere, there was a key role of the chief of police, Wayne Inman. He was an early advocate and leader in community policing. What he said to the town is, yes, this is a law enforcement problem, but this is really a community challenge, and we have to deal with it together. So his leadership was very instrumental in how the town responded. The culminating event took place when a six-year-old boy had placed a menorah in his window for Hanukkah, and a brick was thrown through the window and landed on his bed. And people knew that the stakes were high and that someone could really be harmed in a hate crime, and they didn't want that to happen. So they started putting paper menorahs in their windows, and that year 10,000 people put menorahs in their windows, and the skinheads went away. I think the role of the police chief is absolutely critical in this story, and it's one of the reasons that as Not In Our Town pushed out and moved forward, police departments became involved. We thought we would do 10 town hall meetings that year when the program premiered on PBS. There were over 100. There were all kinds of screenings. They were held in high schools, in community meetings, in police departments. And what people wanted to talk about is not just what happened in Billings, but what was happening in their own community. So we've been following these stories ever since.
Thank you. So Patrice, the Not In Our Town project is based in partnerships and community engagement. Can you elaborate on these two principles?
We feel really strongly, and what we've seen over the years is that change really takes place at the local level. And for us, our key partners are people in communities who are committed to taking action in schools, in civic life, in their workplaces, and through law enforcement to change the atmosphere, to not only respond to hate crimes, but to look at the bias incidents and the everyday intolerance that could lead to these hate crimes. I think our partners are pretty obvious. Obviously, law enforcement is really important, and that's why we're so pleased about this partnership with DOJ COPS and with law enforcement leaders across the country. But it's also faith groups, it's schools, it's civic leaders, it's local media. It's the institutional leadership in a community that can help create change. And then, of course, it's the everyday citizen who wants to make their town better, who wants to stand up when they see a racist incident or someone being attacked just because of who they are. Those people, Not In Our Town, gives a frame for those community members who want to stand up and do something. Now, our natural allies are groups like DOJ COPS, local law enforcement agencies, prosecutors. But then we work often with public television and public media, and I'll give you a great example of that. We produced a film in 2011 called Light in the Darkness, and it was a story about a hate crime killing in Long Island of immigrants in an attack by a group of high school students. We shared that film on PBS. The Kansas City PBS station convened a meeting, including their key law enforcement leaders and civic leaders, that convened a screening of this, and out of that screening came a hate crimes task force. So, you know, we were really pleased to partner with KCPT. We are now partnering with them as they cover the recent hate crime killings in Kansas City in Overland Park that happened in April, attacks on a Jewish community center that resulted in the deaths of three people who happened to be Methodist and Catholic. And, you know, that's an ongoing relationship with us. So public media is a key partner. And then we have partnerships with groups that want to stand up to intolerance. For example, United Methodist Women just screened our most recent film, Waking in Oak Creek, which is part of our DOJ COPS initiative, at their annual meeting. And there were hundreds of faith leaders from across the country who want to carry that film into their community to discuss how we can bring our law enforcement and faith leaders together to really create a more neighborly atmosphere and get to know each other across faith, ethnic lines, before something like a hate crime happens. So our partnerships are essential and very much embedded in how we work in local communities.
So what is the hate crime reporting gap, and why is it so important to have a conversation around it?
I think one of the key elements in a community in addressing hate crime, both responding to it and preventing it, is law enforcement. And we have this challenge now where there is a huge gap between the number of hate crimes that are reported every year by local law enforcement to the FBI that are gathered in the annual statistics released to the public, and the number that are actually occur. We know that a larger number occur because Bureau of Justice Statistics does research to ascertain what is the victimization really. Are there hate crimes? Are there crimes across the board, whether it be rape or other forms of criminal activity that are not reported? And so you look at a year like 2011, you look at the crimes that are reported. There are about 6,222 hate crimes reported by local police to the FBI. That was released that year. The government reported there were 6,222 hate crimes. But actually, BJS looked at the hate crimes that happened, and they estimated that there were over 200,000 that occurred. So that's a huge gap. How does that happen? Why does that happen? And why is it so important to address it? I think there are a few reasons. The research shows that many people don't trust that the police will do something about a hate crime if they report it. So that's a huge hurdle, one that law enforcement can address by taking some key steps. And then the other is, I think, more complicated. Victimization is a real challenge across the board. People are often afraid or reticent to report crimes. For example, many immigrants who are attacked are afraid that if they report a crime, it may affect their immigration status. There is, I think what we're seeing in hate crimes, as we do often in rape, for example, is this internal shame, which is so hard to talk about and discuss and is really, really a challenging problem. But it's one that we're hoping through films and resources and community discussions we can try to address. How do we get people to come forward? Because as the son of a woman who was murdered in a hate crime said, how can we address a problem if we don't even know it exists, if we don't even have a statistic to name it? So I think this hate crimes reporting gap is a symptom of a larger problem. Fear and reticence on the part of people in the community who are being targeted and law enforcement that may not be trained enough or understand how to investigate hate crimes and how to make sure they get reported, and maybe not even be cognizant of why it's important to acknowledge and report hate crimes. Because these crimes are not just an attack on the individual. They're an attack on an entire community, and they, like terrorism, and I think it's a reasonable comparison, they are meant to instill fear in an entire group into a larger group. So, for example, in our film Light in the Darkness, we tell the story of an Ecuadorian immigrant, Marcelo Lucero, who was murdered on the streets of Patchogue, New York, in an attack by a group of teenagers who had roamed the streets of this town looking for Mexicans to beat up. When this hate crime happened, Latinos across the country were given a message. you are fair game. And there are people who could be wandering around looking for people who simply look or appear to be Latino, and they are potentially going to beat you up. So it has this larger, it's a message-oriented crime that threatens to really tear at the fabric of civil society, of our communities. It creates fear and distrust. And that's why we have hate crime laws, to really recognize the dangerous and divisive nature of these crimes. So, of course, you want to recognize the crime to support the victim, but you want to support your entire community by recognizing these crimes and getting it out in the open so we can do something about it together.
That's great, and I think that's a great tie-in with the next question. What advice would you give to law enforcement agencies about preventing and responding to hate crimes?
Well, I think first acknowledging hate crimes and really talking with your peers in your department and making sure that you recognize the signs of hate and bias. So quite often, police departments are overburdened in so many places and have such a difficult job that sometimes they forget to ask the questions that will make it clear whether bias was a motivation. And one of the things we're trying to do with this partnership with DOJ Cops is to present films and resources that will give people stories and examples of why it's so important to answer those questions and ask those questions. So, you know, you look for the signs. You look for the obvious signs. Is there a difference in the makeup of the perpetrator and the victim? Was there anything said in the attack that would indicate a bias? Was there any indication, perhaps, on what kind of search they're doing on a computer? Or is there any history of bias? So I think there's a lot of, or even some very straightforward training that police officers can use to know to ask the right questions at the time. To see if bias is a possible motivation. And then there's deeper training. You know, how do you recognize, although most hate crimes are not committed by organized groups like white supremacist groups, you often can look for that by their tattoos, by some of the things they're wearing. There are signals of those kinds of things. But I think, again, the vast majority are mostly committed by people who have inherent bias and inherent hate in their hearts. And so looking for those signals that bias was a motive in the interview with the perpetrator afterwards, this is really important. But I think, you know, even more than that, and in addition to the investigation, communicating to people in your town, in your city, that the law enforcement agencies really care about hate and bias, and that you want to understand if there's a pattern of bias incidents, because we know that bias incidents can lead to further crimes and that there can be a pattern that can lead to more violence. How do you nip that in the bud? Having law enforcement officers communicate with people in their town who may be vulnerable to hate crimes, asking if any of incidents have happened, anything that they have been concerned about, any attacks that have been made, going out into the community and really asking these questions, opening up a discussion with people, so that if there are signs of trouble, the police are more aware of it and can look for something that may avert a much more violent crime. I think one of the powerful things about engaging in this and really talking to your community is that you start to build up trust between the police department and people who are vulnerable to hate, people who may be targets of hate crimes. You know, those conversations don't usually come up. And when there's distrust of the police, sometimes there's this idea that the police wouldn't care. We've seen in many of our stories that when police reach out, when law enforcement leaders reach out to communities, it can help change the atmosphere. And I think there's some obvious advantages for every department with that. It is an opening, and we hope that our films and resources and discussions provide an opening for a different kind of discussion and relationship between law enforcement and communities who may be vulnerable to hate crimes or who experience these bias incidents.
That is also another good segue into what are some of the Not in Our Town resources that are available for law enforcement?
Well, what we learned from the original Not in Our Town film is that stories from one community can help open up a discussion in another. So just as the Not in Our Town, the original Not in Our Town film, spread discussions about various kinds of hate and bias and intolerance that existed in communities across the country, we felt that we wanted to do something that could really help law enforcement and communities have deeper discussions. So in partnership with DOJ Cops, we're creating 5 new films that are examples of law enforcement and communities working together. What happens when a hate crime happens? You know, what are some positive examples of law enforcement working with communities? And that's what we found in these stories. There are 3 films that are done. The first one that we'll be releasing is Waking in Oak Creek. It's a story of the hate crime killing of 6 Sikh temple members in Oak Creek, Wisconsin in August 2012, and the shooting of Brian Murphy, a lieutenant who was the first responder on the scene. He was shot 17 times and lived. I think the remarkable thing about this film is that you see tremendous connection now between the police department and the city, the Sikh community, and the entire community. So this film tells the story of the first year after this crime and how the incident really transformed the city of Oak Creek. The other is A Prosecutor Stand, about a prosecutor as he takes 3 cases to the court system, 3 hate crime cases, and we see how difficult these cases often are, but how vital it is to recognize them. It's a profile of Victor Wong from the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. The third is a profile. This is from a hate crime cop, a hate crimes investigator in the San Diego Sheriff's Department, takes us through 5 lessons that she's learned in her years investigating hate crimes. So this is a film that we thought could be used in Roll Call. And you know, all of these films will have discussion guides with them, and they're part of, they'll be on NIAC.org/cops on our new site that we're producing that includes resources for law enforcement with many kinds of tools, other videos, discussion guides, and materials. So I think this partnership, we're so grateful to be working with cops and also other partners like International Association of Chiefs of Police. The Civil Rights Division has made Not in Our Town one of their key priorities for this year. So it's an exciting moment to be working with the people in a town who can really help change the atmosphere. And we've seen it over and over and over again. A police officer taking the lead and standing up in front of his or her community and saying, we want to stop hate crimes. We want to work with you to do this together, can send a powerful message and really make a huge difference in our towns.
Thank you, Patrice, for providing us with your expertise and time today. This podcast is part of a series of podcasts related to the Cops Office Project with Not in Our Town. For more information and additional resources, please visit www.niot.org/cops.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.